We're the underdogs, mate. No one's backing us. We want revenge. We're going to get it done. Up the bloody baggers. Hello and welcome to the Navy Blue Corner. I'm Ian, joined as always by my good mate Lockie, and we are finally here after a long wait. The season is finally upon us. We're only days away from our first official game of the season against the Brisbane Lions at the Gabba. They're the team that ended our season last year, the team that stood between us and a grand final opportunity. The boys will have a lot to prove. I cannot wait for the footy to start. Lockie, how are you feeling about it? Surely you're buzzing or you're nervous. I'm keen to gauge how you're feeling headed into the first game of the year.
I wasn't feeling any nerves until you kind of hit me with that solid introduction. The fam and I are flying up Friday morning, so keen to check out the Gabba. Mm. You know, 6 months on from, you know, these times that we're talking about that we're going to put behind us and start the season off with a win.
No, it's going to be exciting. I think I'm tentatively excited. I feel as if it's one of those things. Previous years, there's been a lot of excitement. There's been a lot of nerves. I'm kind of in the middle this year. I reckon when Friday hits, when it's game day, that's when it'll all finally wash over me. I'll be absolutely buzzing and will not be able to wait for the football to start. Maybe it's because the preseason and everything hasn't maybe been as smooth as we wanted it to be. But also, I think the way this last season ended, we're in finals. We know how the pointy end of the season is, and maybe a regular season game doesn't hit me as much anymore. And I know how long the season is, but it's going to be interesting. Cannot wait for the first game to start. And look, we've got a lot to talk about as well. There's plenty of chatter from last week's final preseason game, bit of an injury update. And of course, we're going to be discussing our opening round clash against the Lions, but we've got to start with our new segment that debuted last week here on the Navy Blue Corner Show, which you can catch every single Wednesday night here on the Blue Abroad YouTube channel in video form. Drop a comment if you're watching it at the moment and give your thoughts throughout the episode. We'll be keen to read through all of those and chat with you there. And of course, each episode is also available in podcast form on whatever streaming platform you prefer and you listen on. Subscribe and follow so you never miss an episode. And follow us on the socials, whichever one you like, at Navy Blue Corner, so you can always stay up to date with us. Never miss a thing. But Lockie, let's crack into Navy noise. What has caught your attention this week? What are the hot topics?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think the noisiest thing in our space obviously is the closest thing to real football that we got to see last week against the D's. You know, what did you take from it? It's, you know, there was a lot out on display there. What were the things that caught your eye?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't the greatest dress rehearsal for a season. It felt very much as if it was a preseason game. I'm not sure how serious we were taking it compared to the opposition. And look, we're going to dive well and truly deep into the, how much does preseason matter? How prepared are we going into the season? That's going to be in a later segment, so stay tuned for that. We're going to dive deep into that one, but we're kind of just going to cover a bit more of the surface area in the key takeaways. And I think for me, one of the main ones, which was a key talking point throughout last season, was at the start of preseason. It's kind of still there, maybe disappointingly, and that's probably around transition, particularly from D50. We didn't sort of move the ball well again, and it's frustrating. Probably when you see Melbourne and the ease at which and the pace at which they moved the ball through us, to see us not be able to do the same thing, we weren't moving the ball through the corridor a lot. It really took until that second half for us to finally get a bit of run and carry through there. I think, it's hard to know how much to draw from a preseason game like we touched on last week, but I think regardless, I think I would have liked to have seen it not be as much of an issue in those preseason games to get me a bit more excited for Brisbane. What were your thoughts on the transition game?
Yeah, it was the thing that stood out the most to me as well. I think when I was watching, like, this was a pretty, I don't know about you, I found myself getting pretty frustrated throughout this whole game. And I think the transition was one of the big things. I can't remember the last time I felt so, like, I had such little confidence in the back half. Like, just every time that we had the ball moving forward, I don't know. It was just so unconvincing.
Yeah.
And I think that can be a combination of the game style and the different personnel that are down there. But yeah, it wasn't a pretty sight for me.
Mm. I think we'll really know what it's like when we finally play Brisbane. Because as I think we spoke about it to a great degree last episode in just what are they actually trying to get out of the game? And were they just trying different things? Maybe there was a situation where it was, okay, let's put ourselves in some average-ish positions and let's see if we can get out of it by moving it slow, by passing it, or whether we need to go through the corridor. And maybe they were trying a few different things, seeing if we could kick the ball out, or whether we needed to do that run-and-gun style. Not sure. Hard to judge. Let's hope that improves. What else did you kind of take away from that game?
I mean, it's so funny, like, how much Harry is just, like, living rent-free in the minds of us as Carlton supporters and then just the rest of the media. Like, it just felt like every time he goes near the ball, we're just, like, hyper-fixated on what he does. What did you make of his game?
Thought he was our best, to be honest, which is...
So good.
I feel like it's not even a controversial thing to say. I don't have the stats in front of me, which you hopefully won't get that too much throughout the season. But for a preseason game, I was not bothering to look at that. But I think he kicked three goals.
Dialed in, mate.
He took a lot of clunks. He was great in the air, moving around the ground. Looked good in the ruck as well when he went in there, which is an interesting part of the discussion as well headed into the season. And really... So all I really want to see from Harry is him looking confident. And I felt like that when he was around the ball, that he wanted it. Totally. He wanted to win it. And the drop punt was looking pretty good. It's such a contrasting thing that you come out of that game and because he misses like one kick and it was a really bad average kick, that's all everyone's focusing on. And I'm at that point where I don't really care what the outside noise is. People are going to wait. They're going to wait for him to miss one, and that will be the headline. And because regardless, it's going to drive the clicks. People are going to debate it. People are going to say things. And I spoke to some of my mates this week, and none of them are Carlton supporters, and they're all going, gee, surely you boys are going to have to trade Harry. Does he even play
the exact same
first
thing.
Round? And I'm going like, you guys clearly don't understand football if you don't think Harry Mackay is a good footballer. And that's just the insane narrative that the media's kind of drilled into people who don't watch things week in, week out. They go, oh, well, he missed one, so he must be horrific. Contrasting that to Bailey Fritch, who the last two games seen from him, both times we've played against them, the last two times, he's missed every single opportunity he's had, has barely nailed one. Have you heard a whisper about that Bailey Fritch has lost his mojo and can't kick in front of goal? I've heard nothing, but I thought it was much worse.
I have the exact same scenario with my mates too. And I can be guilty of that sometimes too, you know, catching on to narratives that aren't Carlton based because I am so focused on what Carlton do. So like I can understand people getting drawn in, but it's just so dumb that it's the mainstream sports media that are the ones ticking that in, which makes these more casual fans, you know, that's how they view it. Which, yeah, if you watch this game and I don't know if many non-Carlton or Melbourne supporters would have sat through this game, but there was so much to like from what he did. Yeah. So yeah, it's looking good. And I'm liking getting up the ground. I don't know.
Yes.
It's feeding into, I don't know, this positive cycle, I feel.
We've needed something and he's still got a lot of work to do to get to that stage where I'm super confident with him being that second on-field ruckman, but I just want to see him keep building on it. You see, you know, Danaher be able to do that for Brisbane and what that does for the rest of the team. It's, it's an evolution that we require, particularly with Jack Silvani not being there and our ruck depth not being amazing. Pitto, is he 100%? All those sort of question marks on fitness.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it because we love him around the ball. Him higher up in the ground's great. Work rate's there. Marking's perfect. Field kick is beautiful. He just starts to get better at those taps, which were thereabouts. It's going to be something that we can finally add, which if I'm looking for a positive out of the preseason, we tried something different. And it seems to be kind of working, or at least on a positive trajectory.
Yeah, I love that. Me too. I'm buying into that. It's not there yet, but let's keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely love it. I think something else that just to touch on, which is an interesting one, particularly with the injuries around our forward line. I don't think it was, again, a great forward entry effort from Carlton.
Sure. It's
another storyline from last season that's crept a little bit into this one. Who knows? Opening round, whatever we want to call it, round zero against Brisbane. We could have the greatest forward entries ever, look $1 million, and we're going to forget about this episode and all the narrative in the preseason super quickly. So my kind of question around what you saw in the preseason and against Melbourne heading towards that Brisbane game.
Yeah.
Around how our forward line is functioning, is that for you more on the personnel that was in there and maybe some fresh faces, lack of the best team, or was it the entries for you that were more of an issue? If you were to pin it down on something, no fencing, because I know you're going to be doing that to me later. What is your...
I was just about to fence it.
If we're going to do a bit of balancing, which one holds more of a responsibility?
Okay. I'm going to tackle this in a way that may annoy you, because I'm not sure that it is more about the personnel, but I feel like I have a better way to argue that it would be the personnel. Just as I was thinking about, like, and we're going to talk about our best 23s for this week, I'm just concerned about the targets going inside 50 and whether, like, all the guys that I was looking at putting through this forward line mix, while I like them as players in the team, I just wonder whether they, have that presence as targets. If Harry's getting up the ground, like we're saying, like maybe there's something here. We know that Charlie's a great target. If Jack Martin's out injured, if Soss is injured, they're probably like the two that I would then say are like good targets. You could put TDK in there, but you know, apart from that, I'm looking at any of our kind of smaller mid-sized guys, and I'm not thinking about times where we're hitting them on a lead or they're taking a contested mark, which isn't to say that they all need to be doing that, but I'm just worried that maybe we're going to be limited with our, you know, ability to hit a target going inside 50 if Harry and Charlie are the only two that are genuine threats to go to.
It's an interesting perspective, and just looking, I think I did the same thing, looking at my forward line, and it was, okay, there's not a lot of small forwards available, but you're picking the ones that are fit. I've got some really good half forwards that can pinch hit in the midfield. The key forwards are there, but if nailed it, it's that mid-size marking forward that is the Jack Martin, Jack Silvani kind of shaped hole in this team. Is Ashton Moyer, do you bring him in? And I will get into discussion a bit later, but you know, do we bring a guy like him in for structure purposes rather than maybe he's ready to play that role? Because I agree, it looked as if we weren't hitting up the key tools, there wasn't a lot else. And maybe I was, when Jack Silvani went down, I was a little bit too positive on that we could sort of cover a lot of everything else, because I don't think I maybe saw him as nailed on walk-up starter. And so I thought, okay, we can deal with it. Seeing us without Jack Martin as well, I really am starting to think that that forward line needs something else to be able to function. And maybe that is a Matty Owies if he's fit, because we know he can take a mark overhead. And can he fill a bit more of that lead-up role? It's an interesting one. I'm not sure how you guys feel. I mean, let us know what you think of the forward line at the moment, the structure, the personnel in the comments. And if you're listening in podcast form, head over to the socials at Navy Blue Corner. I really want to get a bit of a gauge on how people are feeling about the forward line, because a lot of it was the entries. They were either too shallow or too high and deep, which Melbourne are one of the best structured defensive teams in the AFL. You know, May and Lever were just cutting off everything because we weren't giving our forwards the best looks. But that was something as well in end of last season, particularly in finals. We weren't being able to hit up Charlie and Harry super well, if you're going to look at it quite negatively. So I'm just, fingers crossed that that isn't something that carries into the actual season, because we've got the two best key forwards in the game. We need to be making sure that those guys have room to move, and we're taking advantage of that massive advantage that we have over other people, other teams. Yeah,
exactly right. And I think a discussion that leads into this too is about the rucks. Because like I said, TDK is a guy that I look at if I'm like, all right, who else can we put down there as being a target? You know, you can have your opinions on whether you like having the three tools down there at once or not. I'm keen to hear your thoughts on Pitt in his very limited game time. And I guess, has your perspective on that changed throughout the preseason on the whole Pitt-TDK combo?
I mean, look, judging off what we saw with one preseason game, if you're going to overreact, it's that Pitto's not playing because he was horrific. Gawn gave him an absolute bath. And when the ball hit the ground, it was all the issues we've seen and talked of Pitto for a while. I don't think I'm going to get sucked in just yet. Spoiler for my team, I've got Pitto in there to start with because I just don't trust Harry just yet against a guy like Oscar McInerney in particular. Coming up against a really strong ruckman, he's one of the better in the competition. And size-wise, I'm not sure it's the best matchup for DeConing to solo ruck the whole time with Harry as well. Until we maybe get the matchup right, until I see enough of what else we can offer, then I think I'm just going to have to run with the two. But yeah, how many times are you going to come up against a Max Gawn having the bloody best game he's ever played in his career? It's not off.
Wasn't he unbelievable?
It was good. Yeah,
totally agree. I'm in complete agreement. I don't see it. Just would give me even less confidence in our forward line if it meant that TDK is going to be doing the majority of the rucking at this stage. I'd need to see more of that forward line working. If it is TDK and Harry as the second guy, other guys are going to have to stand up and be threats in that forward line before I'm convinced that Pitt can go out, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it does, on the opposite end, it does open up a position for something else. So if we do need more players rotating through the midfield or potentially that forward line, do we find that this round is the one that we need to experiment a little bit more with some injuries? It'll be interesting to find out. Key defenders is another one of those big discussion points. Yeah. What did you make of your second viewing of that defensive makeup and in particular the performances of a Young and a Kemp who are kind of vying for those defensive key position roles? I mean, obviously Marchbank does not look like he's anywhere near it, but maybe a Durden's in contention. What were your thoughts on the two tools?
Wow. Really tough for me to have a strong opinion on, because I mean, Kemp particularly at quarter time, we were just watching this just in disbelief of the bath that he was getting. And then he kind of got unleashed a bit more and did a few more kind of offensive things as the game went on. My perspective hasn't changed on these two, with these two games. I personally still would have them above Durden in this back line, just from what I know of them, trying to take these games out of it and just look at how I think of those guys as players. But that isn't to say that either of these performances, I didn't consume a whole lot of social media after this game, so you can tell me. I'm going to assume that people were positive on Kemp, whereas I may not have been as positive. Even though he had 19 touches, like the stats look good, I thought overall it wasn't super strong from either of them.
I think it was mixed, and it's probably a bit more my perspective on it, where like they weren't amazing. I thought Kemp in that second half definitely stood up. We saw him back to his kind of intercepting best. And it's difficult. Were we trying different things structurally and then all of a sudden it worked? Were the coaches trying to let the players work things out rather than interfering? Because that's something that maybe in preseason we're having a look at, even without a weedering. Who's the leader down there that can shore things up and make those little tweaks? And maybe we can't adjust to it. Maybe that's something we found out from the preseason, that we need more communication with the players because they're not able to work it out themselves just yet. I'm just speculating. I'm just throwing something out there that could be something that we did. But overall, it's so hard to judge those two players and their performance when my bigger gripe was on how easy the mids and the forwards were allowing the ball to just go in there. I mean, there was a ridiculous, it was like 70 or something inside 50s to Melbourne. They were moving it in fast, moving it in quick. That's not a defensive problem. Kicking out
targets all over the place.
When there's that much space, when it's so easy, the defenders have no chance. And so, yeah, if everything above the ground felt quite disconnected, which didn't help. We know it's about that team synergy and the team pressure. Mm. So we're also not in that position where we can probably like not play either of those two players. They're higher on the depth chart. They're better than what else we have structurally. We kind of have to go with them from now. So let's just back them in. That's my perspective. That's how I'm seeing things. But it'll be interesting when maybe a few of the other players come back, because they've got maybe a few rounds to try and prove that they belong.
It's true. It's hard when you look at like a preseason game like this, like going into it, and I feel like you think, man, these guys that are like fringe, if they want this, they're going to like put a stamp on it. Mm. And I just don't know whether it's so simple to think like that, even though I catch myself doing that often in situations like this. Like you could pick, I don't know, a bunch of different players who maybe weren't amazing. And it's like, you would hope that they would do more, but it isn't that simple. I don't know.
No. And I'll, it's kind of my main point for later, but I'll kind of hint it in a little bit where I think last year we saw that it's, if individuals play well, it means absolutely nothing. And it's clearly all about every single person on that field buying in and playing together. And when that doesn't happen, you start to see it all crumble. And right now, we're not going to get the best out of those two and be able to pave over some of the cracks in that back line with personnel out if everyone else isn't doing it. So I think, yeah, it's the team over something else. And preseason, is that the best place to see it with all guns blazing? Maybe, maybe not. The last thing I wanted to touch on from that preseason game, something not really team related, individual player related. It was on the coaching side. I believe a lot of people saw this and they mentioned it on the broadcast. So I'm not sure if you noticed it, but the second week running, Michael Voss was not actually properly coaching the side. He was letting Hansen take the reins. What do you make of that, if you do have any opinions?
Oh, no.
And I do want to know what the people think of that move or what they could be possibly trying to do. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Lockie, don't fence it, please.
I don't want to fence it, but I want to hear your take first because, it's a broad spectrum of, I don't know, like we kind of touched on it last week. I don't know how deep we want to go into this, but like how is the club framing these hit outs to the players? Like, is there a message behind this? You can read between the lines of what that could be.
Yeah, I don't have a strong opinion on it, but I'll try to make it sound at least like I do have one for the sake of the podcast. And that is, I think it's really good that we're getting a bit more experience into Hansen and seeing his strengths, his weaknesses, especially because we're kind of freeing him up with the inclusion of a Jordan Russell into the forward line. It sounds like Ash is kind of taking a bit more of the tactical reins on game day. Vossy's kind of just managing things from that higher level, a bit more like your English kind of sort of football, or just football in general. Don't know why I had to say English, but your more soccer approach where the manager is kind of on top, just making sure everything's running smoothly. But I'd really love to know what their reasoning was. Were there certain things Vossy just wanted to see and he didn't want to have to be involved making sure this player's doing this? He just wanted to sit back and be able to watch. Maybe that was it. And so I'm really hoping out of preseason, we got what we wanted and ticked all the boxes from the data that they got.
It was
an interesting thing. I don't think I've seen that ever happen before where the coach went, no, I'm not coaching today. I'll sit back and take some notes.
I like that perspective. That's a good glass half full look, Brownie, as you're always good to do.
So you're not going to give me any opinion on that?
I feel like I'm going to turn to you and put my tinfoil hat on, which is just not where I want to be at this stage of the season. But yeah, no, I think on the whole, it is a good thing. And I don't want, them to be taking the approach that we need to be doing whatever it takes to win those two games that we just played. I want them to be doing whatever's going to set us up for success in the long term. So if they think that that's that, then I back it in 100%.
I got to ask though, is your tinfoil hat that Michael Voss purposely made sure he had no fingerprints on that performance? Because a lot of the chat has been that Hansen's the mastermind and he's gone, see what happens when I'm not in charge, boys. This is dog shit. I need to be the coach. See what I bring to the team? Is that what you're thinking?
Not at all. It popped into my head, I guess. You know, there was whispers last year about Hansen potentially going elsewhere if there was a head coaching position available. So I thought maybe this is just part of his kind of development. That's more of a negative look. I like your stance on it better.
We'll see. Well, it's a wait and see. Well, you heard it here first. The other kind of, I guess, Navy noise that's gone around the place, went big on it last week. A bit more of just an update. If anything has changed, that's on the injury front. Fortunately, Motlop hurt his toe. It is jarred, and that is a 1 to 2 week injury. God, we can't keep everyone out on the field. Such an unlucky way to do it. People will do their hardest to try and blame that on Russell, but you can't really do anything on that one. Walshy, they've ruled out for this game, and the round one against Richmond said after the bye, they'll kind of go back to it, but the official word indefinite is quite ominous there. Not a word you want to see, regardless of the context. Marchbank, similar. Great. With this mystery illness. We don't know what's going on. There's no information, but indefinite as well. Another one after the bye. No real update on Jack Martin. It's the same as usual. But Durden and Owies are available. So out goes Motlop, and we get two for the price of one, which is maybe not the greatest trade. We want Motlop out there, but hey, to get two guys to choose from is never the worst thing. So with those players out and the building injury list that we've got, are you concerned with us not having that full strength list to choose from at the start of the season? And how else do you think that something like that and the preparation impacts our year?
Yeah, I'm definitely concerned. It feels like the way that we would want to go into a season if we were wanting to challenge for the premiership was that all our best players would be available. And it's all very circumstantial and case by case with those names you went down. Martin and Marchbank, like, we love those boys. We accept that as random as these injuries are for them, we just can't ever expect that they're going to be fully healthy ever again. I don't think. I think that's unreasonable for these guys. It's who they've been basically their entire time at Carlton.
It's not good. I agree with you. I think that heading into the season, particularly against Brisbane, like, it's such a big opposition, and then round one against Richmond, regardless of their form, it's just such a big occasion, and you want to put your best foot forward. Last year, we went undefeated in the first four rounds, fell off after that, but banking those wins early still count for such a big amount, and looking at the fixture that we've got, there's so many winnable games there. And you want to almost be able to put down that marker as you build into your form, build into the season. So, yeah, it's always frustrating when you're starting to go, okay, made finals last year, made a prelim. Next couple of years are our window. To win a premiership, you've got to be healthy. I know a game of football hasn't been played yet. These guys could all be good after round four or something and not miss a game for the rest of the year. And we're not even worried about the preseason injuries. But it's not an ideal start, because you want to just hit the ground running and you want to be positive going into the season. And all these little negative things that come out, they just really dull that hot start to the year. So that's probably the frustrating thing to me. But you just got to see it as an opportunity. Is this where a Young gets his form back? Is this where Kemp grows from the learning experience? Totally. There's so many different little narratives you can throw out there. Just the small forwards with Motlop missing. Does Durden or always get to put down a marker and make themselves harder to kick out of the team? We're going to have to find different avenues to do things. It's not the ideal scenario for that, because it's out of our control. We're more forced to do it and reacting to it. Who knows? Maybe we unearth a gem by having to shift someone's role slightly. stranger things have happened if I'm taking, again, that positive look on things.
Oh,
which, why not? We want to win the flag. We want to have a good year, get excited for the first game. Why not try to be positive for now?
Exactly right. And, I mean, I feel like I talk about this all the time. But if we looked, if this was the scenario that we were going into the season with 4 years ago or 5 years ago, I feel like we'd be looking at the guys that are coming in to replace these injured guys and being like, fuck. Like, yeah. I do not have confidence with them. We're going to go through our best 23s later. I still look at all 23 of these guys and go, guns. I'm still happy with what we're able to put on the park.
It's enough talent to win games of football. Last on the injuries. Are you concerned at all with, I guess, the lack of information regarding probably Walsh and Marchbank in particular? They've thrown out the indefinite timeline. They haven't said anything on Marchbank, what the illness is. And it's that difficult thing we always talk about. I don't want to go ridiculously nitpicky on the communication, but
yeah,
is it cause for concern that they're not even letting us know that things are looking positive, that anything's happening, we're just getting zero information? Does that frustrate you at all?
No, it doesn't frustrate me at all. We went deeper into it last week. I just don't. Yeah, it just doesn't faze me, that kind of communication. Like, the communication side doesn't faze me. Am I worried about it? Of course. I'm worried about these blokes when they're fully healthy. I'm worried about Zach Williams is perfectly healthy going to this game. I'm going to be worried about him. Like, that's a separate thing to the communication. Yeah. I'm always kind of worried about these players and getting them healthy. The club letting me know that they're now 2 weeks away instead of two and a half weeks away doesn't faze me at all.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I think we definitely have differing views on this one, which is good to have. Finally, we disagree on something.
Who would you?
Yeah, I just want more clarity. It doesn't have to, you don't have to tell me what Marchbank has, but I don't know. I don't like this just saying, oh, we'll look at it after the bye. Just say we're taking a no-nonsense approach. There's this issue, blah, blah, blah. Therefore, we're going to wait until after the bye and give them that extra week because we have the bye. Well, they don't say anything. That's my difference. My difference is they're not prefacing
it. But you didn't say anything just then. What added to that?
So what I'm trying to articulate this the best I can, which is obviously a difficult thing, but is simply that by them not really saying anything and just saying, Walsh back, we'll look at it. Like, but they didn't even say we'll look at it in 2 weeks. It was just like, evaluate. It was just shit wording, very generic in, we will have an update after the bye. Whereas if you just give a bit more actual, if someone is giving me an injury update with a bit more emotion and just saying, look, his back's a big part of the deal. It's a very long season. Just reassuring words around the communication would make me feel more like they're not just, you know, it's that tinfoil hat thing that every Carlton supporter has because of the past history around those injuries, thinking because you're not telling me something means it's worse. You didn't say a lot about Walsh. You made it seem like he was ready for round one. Now it's round three, now it's round two, now it's round four. Like, I don't know. Am I going to trust you in 2 weeks' time because you haven't reassured me that this is going well? I think that's kind of my area. I just want them to word things a little bit better to the fans so that we actually can feel like we can trust them, because it feels a bit more blind faith with the lack of information.
Yeah, I do understand where you're coming from. Like, I just, yeah, I'm trying again to understand like what exactly they could say that isn't just dancing around it. Like, I can imagine Ash Hansen standing there for 5 minutes and talking for 1 minute on each of them. And I can imagine him just not really actually adding anything, but saying all these things like, yeah, it is progressing well, which doesn't actually really mean anything. Like, I can't imagine what they would add that would give me more faith. Mm. And all they're doing is setting themselves up for failure if they go, Walshy, instead of saying, we're going to reevaluate round two, say, he'll be back round three, because we know what bodies are like. If then he's not available round three, we're like, well, why did you tell us round three then? And they're like,
I think you can still say we're reevaluating, but there's a better way to word it that psychologically, almost like weirdly, like a placebo kind of effect, just makes me feel more reassured. And I think it's the bluntness. No, but it's the blunt. Like, this is the thing. We're passionate. We're all nutcases. Like, we read into every little thing. And if you don't give us clearer wording and a little bit of reassurance, like, we're going to expect the worst for these things. And when you don't get information, you assume it's because they don't want to tell us. So just give us something. Like, say he hasn't hit his KPIs yet that he needs to get back into it. He's back into the running, but needs to be into the contact stuff for at least a week of training or 2 weeks of training. He's just come off back surgery last year. He's running and the soreness is getting better, but we just don't feel he's ready to get into the contact. So look, we're just going to give it 2 weeks. Let it settle. No rush, because we've got that extra week. Mm-hmm. You're just saying that compared to saying nothing, like 2 weeks, we'll have a look. Like, I feel like people would be more on board, because the current wording is clearly getting, you see by the blowback, it's getting people not on side with how injuries are reported. People are getting frustrated when they don't receive the information they feel like as members they should be getting, I guess is my kind of argument around it. But it's an interesting discussion. We always seem to have a similar kind of chatter.
Yeah, no, I like it. And I don't totally respect your view on it. My feeling is if they did exactly what you just asked, people still aren't going to be happy. And maybe you'll be happy, but others, can never, satisfy.
You can't please everyone. No.
Nope.
I agree with that. Before we get into the big one, which is the media meltdown, that will be the big next segment. We had a massive one last week talking about the injuries. I've just got to give an absolute shout out. We've got to talk about this competition again, Lockie. Carlton Cheer Squad footy tipping competition, because we spoke about this previously. We're in it last year. We had an absolute stinker. We've got to improve. We've got to win it, because listeners, you can join as well. If you haven't already joined this tipping league and you love your footy tips and you love bragging rights, you've got to join now. Links are going to be in the show notes in the description as well. Head over to Carlton Cheer Squad and their website. It's only $25 to enter, and you don't just have to win to take home a prize. The top three placed footy tippers at the end of the season win a 2024 Carlton team signed Guernsey. Yes, you heard it right there. The top three win a team signed Guernsey. It's an exciting thing. Obviously, Lockie and I, we've improved. We've come up with a formula. We've got the AI all over it. This year, we know we've got the algorithm. We're going to get it done. So that means there's two available for you guys. And if you try to beat us, you got to be in it to win it. So you can actually come back and abuse us in the comments every single week and let us know that our footy tipping stinks. Otherwise, if you're not in the tipping league, you can't say anything. I feel like that has to be the ground rules. You can't tell us our tips were bad.
It's true.
If you don't put your money where your mouth is. And
it's true. We don't take criticism well as it is, but if you're not putting your money where your mouth is, we're even less so.
And if you're worried about $25, what am I doing? Well, the money goes towards the cheer squad. It goes towards everything that they do. They're all volunteering, giving up their lovely time so we can get the banner, so they can get the signs in the cheer squad, get the drum, make the atmosphere as big and vibrant as possible. So all the money just basically goes so they don't have to spend hundreds and thousands each and every single day out of their hard-earned money for the Carlton Football Club. So I think us as a community can definitely chip in and have a bit of fun and win a bloody Guernsey team signed by the boys in a premiership year. What a better way to do it in 2024. But yes, links to all of that will be in the descriptions. Get on board. I'm excited to win it. But Lockie, this is the big segment. Mate, I feel like it's starting as the big one every single week that I'm looking forward to. It's the media meltdown. This is where we find the hottest and most polarizing topic that either the media, in the actual AFL media, are going nuts over, whether it's on the socials, from the fans, whatever is taking hold over the community. And we're going to try our hardest to have a bit more of a balanced view, a voice of reason to it all, and break down the discussion. And this week it is kind of preseason. There's been a lot of blowback to our form, how we've maybe approached things, and is that the best way to do it? So I want to ask you straight out. How important is preseason form to you?
It's a great question. And it's so hard to have takes on this after the 2 weeks that we've had.
Mm.
But I think if we put ourselves back a month ago in February, we'd be sitting here saying we don't necessarily think that the performances in the preseason games are important, but it's a good way of kind of affirming things that we hope are going to be there. I think that's the way that I tried to look at it. If we're like, we think that, or we're hoping that this thing's going to change and then we see it, oh, we're over the moon. It's just so hard not to get caught up in the win-loss.
It is. And it's the odd thing. I feel like I don't really take as much of the win-loss. It's more little things in the performance that I want to see, whether that's trying something new and seeing it work or a problem from last season. Seeing, oh, this is a bit more positive. There's something to get excited about. Probably the bad part of this preseason, we didn't really have that. I don't know. Fantasia didn't kick 10 goals in both games total. We didn't have that real excitement. Holy shit, look at this player. Look at this one aspect of our game. I'm really excited to see what can happen in the season. But going back to just that, how important is the form? I don't think it's overly important.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we chose form as the importance. That's my perspective on this. I don't think we really tried that hard in those games. You look at the pressure, you look at the running, it didn't feel as if we were trying to bring out that round zero performance, that first game of the season. Let's go, let's get ready, 100%. Let's make sure this is the proper dress rehearsal. Felt a lot more, let's just get through, try a few things, and get ourselves prepared best. Do you like, I guess, that more relaxed, just get through, get miles into the legs approach rather than going full bore that maybe we saw in Melbourne perform? Do you think that that's a better approach?
Definitely, because it speaks so much to our past experiences, I think, as fans of watching Carlton and getting swept up in really positive preseason performance, which I just think is probably something that weaker teams sometimes want to do. And kind of focus on making those statements, which just isn't where we're at. And it's hard for me to know whether I 100% believe that or whether, like I said, I'm just being caught up in our current situation and always trying to be optimistic, you know?
Feels weirdly somewhat similar to last year where that preseason game against Sydney was horrific and you're like...
Horrible.
Okay, let's just brush that off as preseason, see how it is. And then because we weren't amazing to start the year, we got the wins, but we weren't playing good footy. You can easily look back and say that that was the wrong approach. But I don't know. We're really not going to know until the season happens. And you brought up a really good point before we actually started recording this, talking about other sporting codes and how they see preseason and... I think that's a big thing. You were talking about how basketball, no one in the NBA, no one seems to care about the performances. No. It's the same in NFL. Half the time they play like a quarter of the actual starters and then they take off everyone and they don't even play. Soccer's the same. It's like, look at the new signings for 2 seconds, how are the youngsters coming through. And no one really cares about the results at all. Is there a reason you think that things are different in AFL and... Is there a difference? Do you think we need to take more a perspective of the form because we're so close to the start of the season and only being like a week from the Melbourne game to the Brisbane game?
It's actually an awesome question. The first thing that comes to mind, I wonder whether like the Wizard Homelands Cup and those days when we were younger, like has impacted how we view it, where... You know, obviously no one thought that the Wizard Homelands Cup was the most important thing to win, but it was a competition.
Yeah.
Whereas now, obviously, it isn't a competition, but maybe there's still kind of the remains of that feeling about it there. Because, that's the thing. Like I was saying within the NBA, it's I've never heard mainstream discourse about highs or lows of the couple preseason games that they play in the NBA before the regular season. Just never. If the worst team beats the best team by 50 points, no one gives a shit. If the vice versa, no one gives a shit either. So I don't know. Do you have a perspective on why it's different for us? It's actually a really good question because...
Yeah. I wonder if it's because of those, like the start of preseason was so heavily built around this tournament rather than what every other sport in the world seems to do in, like, we'll just play you and then we'll play someone else and it doesn't really matter who wins. It's all just about trying out different things, getting miles in the legs, getting a bit of the rust away. And so no one really bothers. And like it's such a strange thing. And oddly, until we see how we perform in the first game, you can go either way with it. You could literally say, oh, it's all fine. We weren't really trying that hard. We just wanted to try to get no injuries and get some fitness and some match touch. And that's it. Or you can simply say, well, we weren't playing well. All the issues were visible in the preseason. They're visible in the season. So we've stuffed up. But I don't know what the approach is. I don't know what the best thing is because we know better than anyone how long a season is and that you need time to grow into it. You need to slowly do it to peak at the right time. And contrasting, I think, in this circumstance, when you look at Melbourne, it felt like they really had something to prove in this game. I mean, I don't know. We knocked them out of finals. Does that count for anything? The way that they went out, we beat them. They lost in straight sets. It's 2 years in a row. All the pressure on them finishing top four 2 years in a row, not getting into the grand final, all the off-season issues that they've had. Was there something in them where they had to go out there and prove it? They had to make a statement and show we're ready, we're good to go, and get that positive spin for them? I felt like that was the difference between the two teams, and maybe that kind of is it in the end. We didn't feel like we needed to prove it in the preseason. They did, and that's just the showing and the difference.
I love it. You're so right about how long the season is. I think back to 2022 and how battered and worn out we were on the run home, which is what cost us finals. Last year, it felt like we took a bit of a different approach. And I mean, obviously the wins and losses reflects that, but it felt like we had that kind of season stamina for longer. I don't know. Maybe that'll be an interesting thing to keep in mind as we get through these first couple of rounds of the season. Because we're kind of assuming that we're going to come out all guns blazing in a couple of days. But we might not.
It's very much a wait and see, and it's an interesting discussion to have. I guess on an overall kind of look at the preparedness of us heading into the first game, growing injury list, lack of preseason form, potentially some could even argue that there maybe wasn't as significant changes or evolution to the game plan to fix some of the issues. We didn't necessarily see us wholesale changes to fix things. Are we well prepared for the season opener against Brisbane in your eyes?
It's a good question. I think I'm going to back them in and say that we are prepared and that we are understanding how we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
I hate always coming back to this, but it is the personnel missing that gives me less confidence about that kind of preparedness. Where in this game, as it was in the Geelong game, Wittering not being there just made the whole defense look different. And some guys just are hard to replace or irreplaceable. So it's hard to be 100% prepared when two of our vice captains aren't going to be playing.
Wittering and Walsh are big outs. It's definitely not the most prepared, but yeah, I'm going to back him in as well. I think you have to. You've got to be positive before we've played a game of football. I feel like it's stupid not to. And then once everything turns to shit, if it does, then you can complain. No. Then you can get angry. But until that happens, which is a massive hypothetical still at this point, don't get angry. Don't worry about it. And the big thing for me that I touched on earlier was I just hope that whatever we wanted out of preseason, that's what we got. We got the data. We tried things.
I agree.
And the fitness of those who aren't currently injured is at the point that we really wanted it to be. I think the good news is that a lot of the guys that have subsequently got injured, they got through that pre-Christmas, pre-New Year training loads, which are some of the most important for a preseason. And it may just take that little bit longer to get up to it. Like I listened a little bit to the Sam Doherty interview with Dan Gorringe. And
it was great.
There was a couple of little things that I took out of it. And one of them was talking about an injury early on in his career. It might have even been when he got to Carlton and he had a bit of like a hip injury or something. And he was basically saying that once he got that, all of his conditioning from preseason, he basically lost and had to start again. Maybe that is something in this Sam Walsh argument and maybe at Marchbank where because of these little issues that they've had, they've just lost a little bit of what we wanted. And the fitness staff wanting us to peak at the right time, wanting us to manage correctly, trust that the rest of the group can get it done without them, and are taking that approach of we just want to get these guys back to where they were. And unfortunately, that may just take an extra month to be cautious rather than rushing them back and us just not getting 100% Sam Walsh, us just battling through with an 80% instead, for an example.
Totally. I like that line of thinking. I think there's truth in that.
There's maybe something. My last sort of question on this is, it's probably where my maybe frustration, if I have one, on the preseason has stemmed from.
Yeah.
Did you see enough of maybe an evolution of the game plan? Do you think we tried enough different things from last year to overcome the problems or question marks you maybe had? Or does that maybe not even really matter in the context of preseason? Do some teams try not to show all their cards in the early preseason? Do you have much of an opinion around maybe not seeing as much of a step up, I guess, in what we saw from last season?
It is a good question. I don't want this to add to my list of concerns, but you are right. I don't know what you could put your finger on and say a positive difference in game plan from these two outings. What were the things that, what for you would you have seen and gone, okay, that's better?
Weirdly, it was watching, and it's, again, I'm not trying to jump too much into this is definitive of anything, but like if I was a Melbourne supporter, I would have been quite excited seeing, ooh, we've got Cozzy Pickett in center bounces and we're looking at what he can do around the ball. We're throwing Salem in there as well. We're trying to get a bit more pace around the ball, trying a few different new things and an evolution around that. I don't know. I wonder, and it's not something I have a definitive stance on. It's more just a pondering for me in that, you know, are we banking on this very big-bodied, strong midfielders, the contest and winning that rather than having the pacier players that we're seeing like a Melbourne were trying to do around the stoppage and moving the speed around the ball? Are we doing the – is our game plan going against the grain of where the AFL – is going? That's a question that I guess we're going to find out this year that I'm starting to jot down and have a look at. And the other one, which is a really interesting depiction, is, and maybe this is a stupid thing to say, but we didn't look good against Melbourne, mainly because we didn't bring the pressure. You saw the second half of last year. What made us amazing was the amount of pressure we're bringing around the ball, causing turnovers, winning the contested side, making it a slog there and winning the ball out.
Yep.
Are you worried that we're too reliant on having to have this manic pressure, every single person fighting and scrapping, compared to maybe having other elements of our game that can take over so it's not as work rate and contested, physically taxing, I guess, is the way I'm trying to phrase that.
Totally. It's a good question. I'm just not an expert enough into those different strengths of game style. Like, I understand that Like I've heard that in different parts of the media over the last week, like that over reliance on that and not us not being strong enough at punishing off turnover. It's neither here nor there for me right now, because yeah, our best footy was doing that last year. I don't know if I can comment on whether we can sustain that or not, because maybe there's a world where we can and everyone was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you want to look at it on the positive side. It's maybe Voss, maybe we're right. Maybe we're headed towards where football should be headed compared to this manic handball chain, just absolutely run through the opposition without a care. And we're going a bit more of the defensive build from the defense, a lot more structured side of things, heavy contested. We're going to find out. I like that there's at least some contrasting styles in the AFL from a few teams. They're doing different things. And maybe it does come down to personnel that we're not seeing everything that we have. We're not seeing the transition because of Zach Williams isn't out there. The forward line because of Jack Martin and a few others not being 100%. Maybe they have sorted half these issues out, but we just haven't seen it yet because they want to do it in the real season. Or maybe we're just dependent on some personnel. It's going to be interesting to find out. Before we jump into the blueprint to victory, which is us talking about the upcoming match, what we want to see, getting into our team selection as well, I want to throw this out to the listeners. I asked you guys on Twitter, on Instagram, to send in some questions. And we're trying to do questions somewhat similar, but we're going even heavier this year, where it basically is putting one of us in the hot seat. Whoever's asking the questions gets to really grill the other one, where the person answering has to give a definitive answer, no fence sitting. It's not a seat you maybe want to be in, but it's one we're forcing ourselves to be in. Lockie, what were the incredible questions that we had from the listeners this week?
Look, we've spouted on for longer than I thought we would about the in our first two segments. So I'm going to pick my favorite two from, you know, that have been sent to us at Navy Blue Corner on Twitter. And I do like these couple. Oh, from Michael C. Madden. And he's kind of phrased this in a way that he's not going to force you to get off the fence. So you'll just give an opinion on this one. How would we look with Mitch McGovern playing forward, using a three front attack, then bring in Sam Durden to cover him in the back line?
I've heard this floated by someone in the media said this. Someone was like, maybe they need McGovern to go down there or something. And
Mackay sent half back. TDK sent a half back. Move them all around.
Personally, that idea I hate. Probably if I have a strong stance, it's on this. If we're getting rid of our best defender, who is Wiedering because of an injury right now, and we can't play him, our second best is Mitch McGovern. We don't have a Marchbank to cover. If we were fully fit, maybe you could try something, but right now is definitely to try it at all. I don't think that would be the smart option. We need him down in defense. Plus, we've seen him down forward. I think he's a way better defender. And how often have we said our defense is like the best part of the ground? I don't think we need to change that. I think you just, I don't know. I haven't seen McGovern work with those two well enough in a playing a bit smaller as that third. It seemed like it was too clunky. I reckon we just abandon that. And McGovern's a key defender and we just don't have that conversation.
Why is you arguing against it making me more into it? Let's forget about this week and think about in 10 weeks' time. So let's say, and maybe it isn't even McGovern that we focus on here. We've got Harry and Charlie as our key pillars up forward.
Yes.
TDK number one ruck with Harry doing some of the second stuff. Let's say we get there. Yep. Wiedering obviously is locked on as our number one key forward. Is there a world where out of Kemp, McGovern, and Marchbank, two of them are back and one is that third tall forward?
Yeah, I mean, never say never. I don't want to see it. Based off what I've witnessed from Kemp, I don't think he has it to be a forward. I like him in defense. He's young. Keep him developing there. Marchbank, no, just keep him in the defense. And I think McGovern's best football has been there. He's too inconsistent in the forward line. If I'm saying Mitch McGovern is all Australian like last year, it's shot for this. Why am I taking my best players out of their best positions? I reckon there's something else we can do. I don't think it works. I don't think we need that down there. Don't mess things up because you start to chuck him forward and then he loses confidence or it's a different position. I don't know.
It's true. It's true.
He's not training there. Not for me, personally.
I agree. I do agree. I'm just being a devil's advocate. But the only reason that I'm curious at all is just wondering whether he's a different guy to who he was when he came to the club and whether maybe there's something there. But the second question that we have, Brad Nickel 17. The prelim was lost in the second quarter when McInerney dominated Pitto and then their mids got on top. Is this the game where we say TDK is our number one? Back him in all year with Harry as backup.
Don't think so. I don't think just yet. I reckon...
You don't think so or no?
No. I'll say no. Oh. I'll be definitive. You saw in the... In the other finals against Max Gawn, how well Pitt and TDK work together. We need the physicality for me right now against a guy like McInerney. And until it doesn't look like it's working and until Harry really proves to me that he's ready to go, I think I like the two. I think it gets the best out of De Koning. It allows the flex of De Koning forward that we saw in that Melbourne semi-final as well. Goes down, kicks a few goals. You can't really do that if he's having to solo ruck. Yeah, I think the best our midfield can work right now is by rotating the ruck with the guys that we have that are our best and, backing that in and rotating some midfield around. Does Hollands get a bit more of a go? Cunningham, why not? Try things this game and see what happens with a few plays like a Walshy not playing.
Segues nicely into the blueprint.
It is. Let's get into the blueprint to victory. And we're going to start with some team selection. Lockie, let me know and run me through who you're selecting in the 23, sub included, and explain to me why you've chosen those. And then I'll give mine. And I mean, if you're watching this right now on Blue Abroad, firstly, if you're not subscribed, make sure you press that subscribe button for not only just us every single week, but the incredible work that everyone on this channel does. There's so much every single day. It's your one-stop bloody Carlton shop if you want it to be that. It is incredible. but drop in the comments right now. Who is your team? I want to know. But Lockie, who is yours?
I'd be baffled if we were that similar with the guys available this week. But for me, I've got young Kemp and McGovern as my tools down back with Williams, Newman and Saad. Akers and Hollands on the wings. Cripps, Chera, Doherty, midfield with Pitto in the ruck.
Yep.
And then forward, we got Harry and Charlie with TDK as well. Owies, Fantasia and Fogg are my three that I've just got starting on the field. Bit arbitrary, the on-field versus not. On the bench, Boyd, Hewitt, Kennedy and Cottrell. And I'm going Cunners as my super sub.
I believe I was trying to jot that down and it turns out I cannot write that fast at all, but I believe
I thought they'd be so similar that you'd just be able to be like, where's the difference?
I think we've got only one difference here because, I've basically gone the exact same in every bloody position. I don't know if I even need to read mine out. Kemp, Young, Newman, Williams, Gov, Saad with Boyd on my bench to rattle out the defense.
Yep.
Akers, Hollands on the wing, Cripps in the middle, De Koning, Chera, Hewitt as my mids. I've got Pitto as well on the bench to cover that. Also got Doherty rotating through on my bench. A forward line is Cunningham is my difference. I've got him on field starting with Harry, Cottrell, Owies, Charlie and Orazio. And then Fogarty is my last bench spot. And I'm fence sitting slightly. I don't know if I can decide between my two subs right now. I have Kennedy or Chincotta. And my first thought was, I want Cunningham in there to be something different with the midfield over a Matty Kennedy. I think we've seen Kennedy, Cripps, Hewitt not necessarily work. Kennedy's not a straight replacement for Walsh, so I don't love that. So it's true. Like Cunningham. I think his preseason form, he's been one of our better players, can string that high half forward, mid-forward connection together. So I like him out there. And he can run through the midfield a little bit, which I think mm-hmm. can add to him this year with a Hollands. But yeah, does Kennedy need to be on the bench, on the sub, for the sake of if the midfield isn't working, we've got an extra guy to go through there. We know if the forward line, he can be that kind of marking option. It's not amazing, but it's probably the best we currently have. The yeah. other person was obviously Chincotta as that other, as this other person to throw up for a sub, mainly because I'm not sure Williams gets through the whole game. But is that the smart thing to do? Do you have a guy as the sub with the thought in mind, halfway through the last quarter, we sub out Williams when, I don't know, anyone could get injured, anything could happen, and now you're stuck with another halfback? I don't know.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on why you had, I guess, Kennedy yeah. over at Cunners and why you wanted him as the sub?
I didn't put a whole stack of thinking into it. Mainly, I'm trying to not get, I don't know, the fact that we haven't seen Kennedy in the preseason, mm-hmm. I don't want to lose kind of how valuable he was to us last season pre-injury.
Yeah.
Like that injury, you know, it took him out of our really good run. He was there for the first few games of that. I'm looking at that again now. And then he kind of couldn't get back in. And then he came back in for the last two games. Weird role against mm-hmm. Melbourne. Hardly played against Brisbane. You know, I don't want that to cloud over what I think Kennedy is, which is still a really good player. And Cunningham just feels a bit better as a sub to me. Like if it's mm-hmm. like bring someone on at three-quarter time to have a really impactful last quarter, I have more faith in Cunningham to do that, I reckon.
Mm. No, Cunningham
didn't. I actually didn't love maybe him really? In the preseason as much as you. Like I don't know. There was something about it. I want more.
Yeah, I want more as well. I just liked from him that compared to a few others, I thought his ball use stood out when we weren't using the ball yeah. well by hand in the handball chains. The kicking wasn't amazing. I just see him streaming into forward 50. I trust him to deliver it on a dime to our key forwards, whereas maybe a few others I don't. Without yeah. Motlop in there, and Martin, I just want better users around, better flexibility to go into the midfield to push out. And I think Cunningham allows me to do that a little bit more than a Matty Kennedy. But yeah, I think I want Kennedy as my sub for, yeah. I feel yeah. like you can change a bit more up with him. But yeah, I mean, so similar. It's insane how close we've gotten. Could have been a little bit more interesting if we had more players to choose from. Why did you go always over a Durden is probably my last question.
Yeah. On the team. That's an interesting one. I think that's just the runs on the board, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of the opposite of my opinion on Kennedy, which is just contradicting myself, but what I always was able to do in the second yeah. half of last season when we weren't necessarily seeing mm-hmm. Durds all the time. I've just got him slightly higher in the pecking order at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, and it's insane that out of all the small forwards, the most in-form and fit small forward is somehow Orazio Fantasia, which if you told totally. Me that, before, like at the start of preseason, I would have laughed at you. That is insane. So yeah, we love Orazio. Can't wait to see what he can do.
We do.
And speaking totally. Of not being able to wait to see the game, Lockie, what do you want to see? What are your big things? What's your blueprint to victory? Do you have any wild predictions? Do you have any key milestones, KPIs that you want to see perform?
Oh,
what are you after from this game, other than obviously the win? And drop yours right now in the comments on YouTube if you're watching this in video form. If you're listening to this podcast form, head over to the socials at Navy Blue Corner. Let us know everything we've asked so far. Give us your answer, particularly this one. What do you want to see from the game?
It's all about confidence for me in this one. I want to see us going out there and playing like we are one of the best teams in the league. Yeah. And I don't want us going into our shell. I don't want us not being able to take risk. That's what I want to see. I want to see us playing like, you know, we belong on the big stage like we did in finals last year. Yeah. If we go into our shell and we play it safe and we lose that way, I'm not going to be a happy chap in 7 days' time.
No, I really like that response. I think that's a really good one to kick off the season. Hopefully mine can do it justice as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's basically, I want to see what we've learned from the prelim loss last year. If there's ever a game that you've probably overanalyzed more than any ever as a football club, surely it is the biggest game you've been in, the one that stopped you from getting that grand final opportunity. It's you've true. Had all year, all off season to figure it out, to go over it and see what you need to do to go to the next level, to beat a team like this. So I want to see what we've learned. Are we going to be put in a similar situation where Brisbane get the ascendancy in the contest? Can we find a way to change things and right the wrongs? Yeah. I want to see how we react. And that for me is one of the big ones. And maybe that goes towards you, where we find out that we can step up and be confident to play the way that we want to.
Yeah. 100%. Oh my God. Okay. Now I'm officially keen. I don't know. I was wavering a bit after the Melbourne game, and now, holy shit, I'm ready to get there.
I love it. Do you have any other little, what you want to see, is random predictions, anything else?
I mean, just a couple of very specific things. Like I do hope that we see still some Harry rucking in this game.
Yeah.
Even if that's just isolated to some forward 50 stuff, I hope that we don't just put that away in this game. And the other thing, mate, it's going to be Fantasia's 100th game if he suits up. Get the man that you're still an not early confident. Snag.
First goal, put the house on it. Absolutely. No, I mean, I've got a somewhat similar one, in that my other what do you want to see is, I want a small forward to step up / us to find a way to make our forward with no Sauce, no Martin, no Motlop. The lack of that mid-size kind of player worries me a little bit. Someone step up. Someone do it, whether it's Owies, whether it's bloody Fantasia. I don't care who it is. Someone, Fogarty, McKicks 4. Who knows? I just want to – I haven't been excited from a lot in the preseason that I can hang my hat on one or two things and go, wow, keen to see that in the following week. That was exciting. Loved every bit of that. I want to take something – out of this game that isn't just the clear win we're going to get me pumped for that Richmond game at the G. It's what I want. And hopefully it's the small forwards.
Wow. Wow. There's a lot in it.
There is. Now, Lockie, because I've got you excited, I've got to immediately take you back down to earth. What is the biggest concern headed into 2024? Don't worry, we're not going to end on a negative. We've got the inverse of this to wrap this up, but we've got to be critical. We've got to look at things from all perspectives. So what's that one concern that you have?
My concern and then what I'm confident about are just really inverses of each other. Because as much as I said that best 23 that we named on the weekend, I look at that and I say, these are all guys that I believe in to varying degrees. I'm just concerned about whether we're going to be able to cover the key missing players at the key stages of the season. Because if we can't, the path forward seems really hard. Yeah. They don't have to stand up all season. Like, Lewis Young, we're not going to be relying on him to play 23 amazing games this season.
Yeah.
But these ones without Wiedering, step up.
Yeah. You need to be healthy for most of the season if you want to be there deep at the end of the season. Yep. So I think that's a big one. Yeah, I kind of have two, but my main one I think is just ball movement, defensive transition. I don't want to see us for the whole season still have issues moving the ball when things aren't going our way. I know there's going to be stages in a game where teams are going to set up really well and it's going to be hard. I just don't want to see a full game where we're just doing the same thing and not able to overcome that, because feels like that was the big emphasis in the offseason for the second year in a row, trying to fix that. If that's again a problem at the end of the season, I don't know what you do then. Like, do you just keep trying different things until something works? Surely at some stage, something has to click. And then, yeah, my other one was just that little thing, brief thing on the – if we aren't dominating the contest, like when Brisbane took the game over, winning it at the Source, Do we have any other strings of our on the bow to our bow yep. to take things forward and get it back on our terms? And maybe that is that defensive transition that can sort that out.
Hmm. Yeah, 100%. Oh, mate, if we can tick off all three of those, I don't think we're going to have any troubles.
Yeah, so let's get excited. What are you most confident about headed into 2024? I know you kind of alluded to it, but I want it clear, succinct yeah. sentence. What are you most confident about?
Well, I think in incredibly overarching way, I'm just genuinely so confident that if we're healthy, we can beat anybody on any day.
Mm. I love it. I love that optimism. And even the team that we've got out here that both of us have kind of selected out of those fit, that is still good enough mm-hmm. to beat Brisbane. I don't want to hear this.
I agree. 100% agree.
Three-hit nonsense that, oh, well, no one ever beats them up there, so who cares? No. Mm-hmm. Every single game matters. This matters a lot to start your season off, to right the wrongs of last season, finally tick off a win against Brisbane at the Gabba. Yes. Team's good enough. If we don't believe they're good enough, then how are they meant to do it? We want to win the flag. It starts now. That's how you do it. And my thing that I'm confident about is that regardless of what happens throughout the season, the ups and downs, I'm confident that these lads won't quit, that they will fight to the end regardless, tooth and nail. The passion's there. The hunger's there. I'm confident in that. And this game against Brisbane, it's a massive midfield battle. They've got some incredible half forwards to stop. They've got the key forwards there as well. They've got that fast transition. Those are things to worry about. But I tell you right now, all the Brisbane fan channels, all of that, they're going to be confident like we're confident, but they're still going to be worrying about us. They're going to say, well, how do we stop Charlie? How do we stop Harry? They got Cripps. They got Chera. They got Saad. Williams now coming back. Of course, he's going to be firing. It goes both ways. Both teams can win this game. Both teams have got the weapons. Let's go out there and prove it. And that is basically surely got you up and about for the first game of the season. I'm pumped. And that's going to wrap up this episode here. Make sure you like and subscribe on YouTube to Blue Abroad if you're watching this. Follow wherever you listen to this on your streaming platform and head over to the socials at Navy Blue Corner so you never miss a thing. You stay up to date with all things Navy Blue Corner. We will be back next week, every Wednesday night on Blue Abroad. We'll be releasing the podcast at the exact same time. And we're going to be talking about a massive, massive win against the Brisbane Lions. We're the underdogs, mate. No one's backing us. We want revenge. We're going to get it done. Up the bloody baggers. See you guys next time.